Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me, it's coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, lead to that secret, sacred place in you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be
Blog Talk Radio. This is, y'all, this is May 1st, 2021. Thank God for a new month, a new topic, and a new word from the Lord. I am your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. Your co-host is Evangelist Terry Rogers. We thank God for her. And certainly you will hear her on next week. We have got an exciting lesson for you on today. I do want to give a shout out. Thank God for his grace and mercy. My father will turn 91 years young on tomorrow, and we will celebrate his 91st birthday because the Lord has been gracious to him and allowed him to live allow him to get to this age of 91 years old, and we certainly celebrate him. I just want to give some announcements. You know, Amazing Grace Ministries, we are in our Bible school. The School of Ministry is in operation. We have been teaching the Old Testament. We have gone through Genesis. We have gone through Exodus. We have gone through Leviticus. We have gone through, praise God, almost through Numbers, praise God. And certainly if you just want to listen a little bit, you can do that because the Word of God is exciting. It's good to learn more about God. You know, we need the Word of God in this last and evil day, the situations that we find ourselves in. And with that being said, certainly, if we something on today that is pricks your heart, if it uplifts you, please give us a shout-out. Please give us a text. Please email us or text us. And certainly you can email me at amazing, A-M-A-Z-E-N, graceministries@gmail.com. You can text me at 309-750-7584. And certainly you can click the link and you can be transported into this lesson and or put it in your search engine on your computer, which is http://tobtr.com/s/11936761. And you can hear this lovely lesson. You can click on it now and hear us live. We thank God for what he has given us on this month. And God has given us a rhema word. God has given us a fresh word to speak to the situations in which we're going through today. And certainly as we go, as I have been teaching the Old Testament, God is giving a word to me and downloading a word. And I believe that it's going to be captivating. It's going to be illuminating. It's going to put energy and a refreshing in your spirit to know that God is fixing your situation. So we have a word that's going to be life-changing. And why do we say the word is life-changing? Because the word of God says over in Hebrews that it will change us, that it will go through every area of our existence, our mind, our body, our joints, our marrow, and it will be like a surgeon's knife. And anybody know what a surgeon does? A surgeon operates on you for whatever the condition that you may have, and that surgeon would take out whatever it is. And certainly we have surgeons that are have their own specialty. And certainly there's the heart surgeon, there's the lung surgeon, there is eye surgeon. So we have various surgeons who has trained in their field to be experts in that field. And the word of God is a expert in changing us and rearranging us and making us who God wants us to be, because we are here on earth for his glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. And certainly we have got a word today. We've got a word to speak again to your issues. And the theme for this month, hold on to your hats, hold on to your ears. Open up your ears. It is accessing the holy of holies, entering into the presence of the Lord. And in my studies, I was studying this lesson, and I was looking at the lesson, and certainly the Lord said, this is a lot. You need to break it up, and we're going to come, and we're going to break this lesson down. We are going to deal with each element so that the saints of God will be equipped, and that you will know, thus saith the Lord. It is our endeavor at Amazing Grace Ministries to bring you the word of God. We stand on that foundation. It's not what Dr. Carey feels. It's not what Evangelist Rogers feels, but it's what God says. Now, we may give you our interpretation. We may give you our testimony. Glory. And Evangelist Rogers got a testimony, y'all. Certainly, we will give you that, and that is according to what we have gone through, but also how we've stood on the word of God. So let's get into more in depth in the lesson, shall we? So I've told you the thing, but I haven't told you the lesson for today. The lesson for today, this first Saturday, is the substitutionary sacrifice. Oh, my God. Let me say that again, y'all. The substitutionary sacrifice by Christ. the substitutionary sacrifice by Christ. I said God at first, but it's Christ. The substitutionary sacrifice by Christ. Now, let's read the word. Romans 11 and 26. And so all the Israel shall be saved as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And Hebrews chapter 9, verses 6 through 10, and I'm going to add on 11 and 12 later on in this lesson, but for right now, I'm going to give you 6 through 10. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second once the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost then, signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was standing, which was a figure for time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the sacrifice perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meat, drinks, and the divers washing and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. So we're living in a time, as the saints of God, we're getting this corona shot, corona vaccination shot, sorry. And we're living in a time where it seems like nations are against nations. But if we look at the Greek and if we look at the words in the Bible, the Bible talks about nations will be against nations or ethos will be against ethos. So various races will be against each other, certainly speaking to the time that we're living in. And certainly God gives increase. God will hear the cries of those of us that are crying and praying, because that is the word of God. He says the prayers of the righteous availeth much. So we can know that God will see us through. We can know that God will bring us out. That's what the word tells us. Now, it is important to us as saints of God to stand, to speak truth to power, and we speak it through the word of God. But saints, we must understand the word of God. We must be able to rightly divide the word of truth. Unfortunately, we get a verse or two, and we speak it, and we run with it, and we don't know the text. We don't understand the history. We don't understand the time. And certainly that's why it's important that we know what the Bible is saying. And that is how we stand. So when we look at my topic, I said substitutionary. Now, what does that long word mean? Well, it is the adjective form of substitute. So it's doing something, y'all. It's active. And substitute means the action of replacing someone or something with another person or thing. Now, a substitute is one who takes the place of another. And that's what substitute means. Now, there is a terrible death sentence hanging over the head of every human being. So the phrase substitutionary, and its atonement, means that Christ died in the place of sinners as our substitute so that that death sentence could be modified. You know, that's it. We could hang it up. Praise God. We could go home. I've said a word. Praise God. Hallelujah. bless the name of Jesus. It's it. I've told you the topic. Hallelujah. Oh, but I ain't finished. So I want to tell you a little history. So the two important things happened, and we have to understand that the Bible is fascinating. It's a fascinating study, and because I know everybody can't attend it, but praise the Lord, I'm going to give you a snippet of what we're teaching or what we're learning in Bible study. And as a teacher, I get to learn too. I get to refresh myself with the Word of God, reacquaint myself with symbols, with things that's going on in the New Testament, with God's revelation, God's power, God's divine ordinance, God's divine will, and how God set a course for my deliverance. And certainly when you see the plan that comes forth or begins to illuminate in front of you via the Bible and research and understanding, you can't help but say, my, what a God I serve, how good he is to me. Woo, praise God, hallelujah. But anyway, so we have to understand that the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. Now, God told Abraham that he would do three things. He would make him a nation. Now, in essence, to make him a nation, three things had to happen. You had to have the people, you had to have the laws, and you had to have the land. And certainly when we begin to see that we find that Genesis, God is working it out. When we get to Exodus, God's promise to make that people a nation had happened. They were now mighty in size, so mighty that Pharaoh got scared. You know, Satan gets scared of you when you the blessings of the Lord fall upon you. Your haters get scared of you. Your haters want to stab you in the back because God's blessing befall you, because people look at you and say, why you got what you got? They don't understand that you've been praying. They don't understand that you've been fasting. They don't understand that you've been seeking God. They don't understand that you've been going through the throne room and lifting up the mighty name of God. And because you've been lifting up the Lord, he pours on you. He pours on his glory. He pours on his anointing. Hallelujah. I could just have a lesson right there. But this is just an introduction to get you where I need you to see. So in essence, they were in slavery. Then God calls Moses. Moses is raised in the pit house, but soon finds out who he is. And when he finds out who he is, then he acts on who he is, and he gets kicked out. Hallelujah. He not only gets kicked, he runs. He runs from Egypt to Midian. And there begins the course of studies, the course of studies for him to be the man of God that God is calling. Sometimes we've got to go through the trials and tribulations. Sometimes we are going to go through in order for God to get out of us what he wants. Because there is a plan and purpose for us. And because there is a plan and purpose for us, we have got to go through those tests. So in essence, here we are. They have been, Moses had walked the Israelites out of slavery. They were over at Mount Sinai, and God begins to give them the law. So there were two important things that took place at Mount Sinai. First, God gave the law, and second was the building of the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle was a portable worship center for Israel. Here, Israel would be able to come to sacrifice and worship and have fellowship with God. Later, when Israel lived permanently in their land, the tabernacle would be replaced by a temple, a permanent structure in the city of Jerusalem. But for about 450 years, a tabernacle would be the center of worship for Israel, the place where they would go to be freed from their sins. Now, at Mount Sinai, the details of the tabernacle were given to Moses, and you can find that in Exodus 25 and 40. The tabernacle was to be surrounded with an outer court. The tabernacle itself, the temple-like structure, was a tent-like structure that had two areas, the holy place and the holy of holies. That's where we're getting our theme on the month, is accessing the holy of holies. Several altars and pieces of several other pieces of the furniture were part of the plan. Now, the tabernacle was a picture, person, and the redemptive work of Christ. Now we're going to read Hebrews, and we're going to read all of the verses 9, 6 through 12. And this is the Living Translation Version. When these things were all in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties. But only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins the people had committed in ignorance. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented was still in use. Verse 9, this is an illumination pointing to the present time, illustration, thank you, Lord, pointing to the present time. For the gifts and sacrifices that the high priest offer are not able to cleanse the consciousness of the people who bring them. Verse 10, for the old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were effected only until the better system was established. Christ is the perfect sacrifice. Verse 11. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the things that have come. He has entered that greater, most perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of the created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Now the tabernacle, praise God, was built by Moses and the Israel people, which represented the new covenant. Each part of the tabernacle represented something different. The example given, the veil separating the holy place from the most holy place, represents the body of Christ, as the word stated. Through Jesus, you got to God, which is in the most holy place. The parts of the tabernacle and its pieces of furniture was a picture of Christ and his plan for redemption of sinners. There are the veil separate the sinful man from the holy God. But we thank God that the first veil was the of the eastern gate, which opened into the courtyard. Ah, hallelujah. Those who came to sacrifice came through this veil or gate. And the word says in Exodus 40 and 33, then he hung the curtains forming the courtyard around the tabernacle and the altar. And he set up the curtains at the entrance of the courtyard so that the last Moses finished the work. The next veil along the priest entered to the holy place which is Exodus 40 and 28. Now there were three veils. There were three veils or three curtains that separated the entrances. And the next veil was 40 and 28, says he hung the curtain at the entrance of the tabernacle. This was the first veil into the tabernacle. The last veil was only the high priest who once a year could enter into the Holy of Holies. Exodus 40 and 21. Then he brought an Ark of the Covenant into the tabernacle and hung the inner court to shield it from view, just as the Lord had commanded him. The furniture is a substitutionary sacrifice by Christ, or a picture of Christ. The tabernacle and its furnishings are designed, and if you read Exodus 25, 1 through 40, and Exodus 37, 1 through 28, to show and to represent the sacrifice that Christ would make for us. Oh, and we thank God for the element. We thank God for giving us a way out even in the beginning. We thank God that God used the laws. God used Moses to set up symbols, to set up furniture that would later be turned into the sacrificial, hallelujah, representation of the perfect lamb, that perfect lamb being Jesus Christ without spot or wrinkle. And we must understand that God paid it all, and he paid it all for our sins, but he was a sacrifice. And the word of God talks about that sacrifice, and it all lines up together. It all lines up to show us or give us a picture of who the majesty and the authority that God has given to us. He looked upon us. He thought about us. He has a plan for us. And because he has a plan and purpose for us, we can rest in knowing that if we're on the Lord's side, he's got us. So when we look at Exodus 46 and 7, it reads in the New Living Translation, "Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the tabernacle entrance. Set the wash basin between the tabernacle and the altar and fill it with water. The courtyard surrounded the tabernacle." Exodus 40 and 8, this again is the New Living Translation. "Then set up the courtyard around the outside tent and hang the curtain from the courtyard entrance." So when we look at this picture, when we look at the picture of salvation, when we look at what God has done for us, when we look at the sacrifice of sin, now we're talking about that first piece of furniture, and we're going to look at all of them, but we're dealing with that first piece of furniture, the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. When we look at the tabernacle, when we look at the temple, and certainly our tabernacle today is when we go into the house of worship. When we go into the house of worship and lift up our hands, I know Corona shut us out. The government says the churches can go back to 25% capacity of worship. And certainly we have had to have or make our tabernacles or our temples here in our home. We have had to cleanse. We have had to fast. We have had to pray. We have had to look on Zoom for our worship services. But God's saying that he is doing a new thing. So in essence, we understand that when we come into the Holy of Holies, when we come into the temple, when we come into our church again, we are to praise and magnify God. No time for playing around. There is no time for pettiness. There is no time not to give God for glory, because God has made a way out of no way. God is opening up. God is moving. God has given and offered up his son, who is that substitute for our sins, who has gone before us. And therefore, because he's gone before us, we have only to access the throne of grace through Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. So when we look at that first piece of furniture, that bronze altar, and that bronze altar was the place of sacrifice. That bronze speaks of sin, and therefore it had a perpetual fire. It burned all the time. Leviticus 1, chapter 1, verses 7, 5 through 7 reads, "Then slaughter the young bull in the Lord's presence, and Aaron's son, the priest, will present the animal's blood by spackling it against all sides of the altar, and stand at the entrance to the tabernacle. Then skin the animal and cut it into pieces, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, will build a wood fire on the altar." The bronze altar symbolized God's judgment of sin. It symbolized the fact that you can't stand in God's presence in a sinful manner. Because even when Moses asked to see the glory of the Lord, God said, "Look, you know, if you look on me, you would die. But I'm going to hide you in the cliff. I'm going to hide you in the cliff of the mountain. And when I pass by, you can see my backside." I want the presence of the Lord. I want the presence of the Lord to be in me. So, essence, God cannot look upon me if I'm sinful. God can't see us. And because Jesus is our sacrificiary sacrifice, oh, he has been the sacrifice for our sins. So this bronze altar represents Christ, in that Christ became sin for us. He knew no sin, but he became sin for us. He took on our sins. So therefore, we don't have to be ashamed, but we can boldly go to the throne of grace. We can say, "Father, Father, I thank you." But we need to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior so he can be that advocate. He can be that sacrifice for our sins. Oh, if it had not been for the Lord on my side this morning, I don't know where I would be. I don't know if I could stand. I don't know if I would be able to. I wouldn't be able to stand. I wouldn't be able to get up. But it is because Christ sacrificed himself for me. And if you notice, I am making it personal for me. Now, you've got to make it personal for you. You've got to know that God sacrificed himself for you. So when we look at it, now the picture of salvation, the tabernacle is a wonderful picture of Jesus. The courtyard, including the altar, the lever, and the post that held the linen fence, were made of bronze. But all the other metal inside the tabernacle was gold. The bronze represented sin. And the gold represented God. Oh, gold represented God. There is no impurities in gold. Hallelujah. Gold and bronze. And the bronze represented those sins. And you know, we could go to God when we mess up. Oh, and we ain't got it right, because this flesh isn't saved, as I oftentimes talk about. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. So we've got to repent on a daily basis. We've got to go before the throne. Father, forgive me. I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. Oh, because God is Christ, God is our help. God the Son, God the Father is our help. He is the sacrifice, that sacrificial lamb. Oh, he is the Passover. And certainly we have come out of Easter in April, but there is a 50-day period. There is a time of tabernacle, the tabernacle where they, not tabernacle, but they celebrate Pentecost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, if you listen to God, God will give you everything you need. He's speaking on this morning. He's speaking through this person, through me. And certainly God is imparting. God is giving a word from on high. You know, I thank God when he speaks to me. But there's 50 days when we look at, when we come to what is called Pentecost. Oh, hallelujah. Pentecost. It's that same time where the Holy Ghost fell. It Pentecost. It's that time, and certainly it's a celebration that the Jewish community celebrated. And it was a feast. But we thank God that he allowed Pentecost to come to us, that he allowed us to participate in what is called the day of Pentecost, or when the Holy Spirit fell. You know, Acts talks about they were up in the upper room, and we want a Pentecost. We want a revival of the Holy Spirit. We want the Holy Spirit to fall anew on us. We want to speak in tongues. We want to give revelation. Oh, when you speak in tongues, you're edifying God, and certainly God will give you the revelation of what he's saying. You don't have to speak in tongues to receive the Holy Ghost, but certainly it's an out-of-body experience, meaning that when you receive this, the anointing of the Lord, you will know it. Oh, you will know it, because there will be an experience that you have with God, hallelujah, that is so good. It is so edifying. It is so unlike anything you have experienced, because the goodness of the Lord, oh, you will feel connected. Oh, joy, unspeakable joy. And certainly we need to connect with God. But like the brazen altar, we've got to wash ourselves. We've got to wash ourselves in a way that says, God, forgive me of my sins. I don't want to walk in my own ways anymore, but I want to walk up right before you. That means I need to treat my neighbor right. So God, if there's anything that I have done, anybody that I have offended, anything that I've done that was outside the will of God, forgive me. I repent of my sins. We've got to repent on a daily basis, just like they cleanse that self, just like this altar was a sacrifice of sin. Therefore, we have got to sacrifice and lay down everything, every weight of sin that's not like God. Then we have to access God through our prayer and worship. We've got to access God through prayer. We've got to access God through a life that's living before him, living upright, doing the right thing, showing integrity. Oh, and then integrity means doing the right thing when nobody else is looking. Oh, because we want to please God. We want to seek God as we leave this earth. We need to know that our place when we leave it, we're going to see him. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord. Ooh, ha. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. I'm going to stop. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for those that's on the line. I thank you for those that have sacrificed their time to listen to this blog. And I pray, God, that you will impart to them, give them a word, speak to their hearts, Holy Spirit, speak to their minds, Holy Spirit. God, show them and direct them. And God, if there's anything that's not like you, God, in me, I pray, God, that you'll forgive us of all our sins, all our unrighteousness, God. God, I pray, God, that this word, God, will hit and hear and touch somebody. I pray, God, those that are going through, those that are suffering, those that are fearful of taking this vaccination, I pray, God, that you'll download into them your strength, your understanding, and your wisdom. God, show them, God. Let them see, God. Let them see that you are all-knowing. You are all-powerful, and the healing belongs to you. There's nothing that you can't do. There's nobody, no thing, God. The word says, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we're healed, by his blood, by the fact, the shedding of blood. Because he shed blood, certainly is the remission of sins because he shed blood, but it's also the healing of our bodies, and we can lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to say thank you, God, and thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I worship and I adore you, God. I thank you, God, for being the advocate for my sins. Now, God, if there's someone out there in radio land that does not know you in the pardon of their sins, I just want you, those that hear this message, to know that Jesus Christ can be your Savior. All you have to do is just accept Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and accept him as your Savior. And now that you're saved, say these words with me. God, forgive me of my sins. I repent of my sins. And I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want you to know you're now saved. And please get into a Bible-based church. I know that the worship churches are opening up to 25% capacity now, but you need to hear the word. And certainly we are bombarded with the word of God, but you have to have fellowship with the saints of God. Some people say, I don't have to go. Yes, you do, because that's what God is. God is a God of relationships. He builds on relationships. He's the God of love. He is the God of love, and because he loved us, if you look at the Old Testament, if you study the Old Testament, and I just brought you a little piece of what we are talking about in the Old Testament, even the tabernacle, even this tent-like structure, hallelujah, I didn't get to the Day of Atonement. And praise God, we're going to get to the Day of Atonement. Oh, the high priest. And certainly, just a little bit, Jesus Christ became our high priest. So everything we need is in Jesus Christ. But we study the word to see what an amazing God we serve. He's so amazing until he worked it out. Adam and Eve sinned, and he worked it out. He had a plan for our redemption, even after Adam and Eve sinned. And the word shows the steady picture of that redemption from Adam and Eve all the way to Jesus Christ. And we look at the word and say, well, some people say the word don't apply now. You want to bet? Nothing new under the sun is happening. History repeats itself. And if you study the book of Leviticus, and all the laws given, you'll see everything that's going on has gone on before. But God is faithful and just. Now, again, thank you. This is Dr. Maria Carey, your host. Evangelist Terry Rogers will be with you on next week. And certainly we have a theme, accessing the Holy of Holies. And you got to be right to access the Holy of Holies. This is my prayer for you on this morning, that you know that you'll be well, that the word of the Lord will bless you, that he will continue to keep you, that he will smile upon you, and that he will, that we will see each other, we'll listen to each other, because we can't see each other, but certainly you can hear us, either myself or Evangelist Terry Rogers, who will be on next week. Certainly keep us in prayer, keep this ministry in prayer, lift us up before the Lord, because as you minister to God's people, Satan certainly does not like that. So keep us in prayer, saints. Pray for us. And it's certainly, if you find yourself that this word, this ministry has blessed you, please send us a offering. You can send that to Amazing Grace Ministries, P.O. Box 438-411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. Certainly, hey man, be blessed. God bless. I'll see you on next week. Bye-bye.